Today's St. Anthony Regional Hospital Orthopedic Show is a replay show, originally broadcast on October 15th of 2024. The following is a paid advertisement of St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics. References to any specific product, services, or entity does not constitute an endorsement or recommendation by St. Anthony Hospital, Carroll Broadcasting, or its advertisers. The views expressed by the host or guests are their own, and their appearance on the program does not imply an endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Welcome to the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. Dr. Godding specializes in joint preservation, reconstruction, and replacement surgery, and brings over 25 years of orthopedic excellence to St. Anthony Hospital and to the Carroll area. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Orthopedics, go to stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.
Good Sunday morning, Iowa. It's Dr. Rick Godding, and thank you for being here with me again. So last weekend was homecoming for my oldest daughter, and she had a really good time, and the kids went out, and then they came over to our house afterwards, and it was nice. I cooked them a big pasta meal. I made homemade pasta sauce from scratch, and we had pasta and garlic bread, and they kind of, a bunch of them came over, probably 10 or 12 came over, and we made them a fire in the backyard, and they made s'mores and things like that. So it was good, clean fun, and it's just so happy that she has a group of kids that are happy to come over, and, a couple of them watching the movie in the basement, a couple of them outside by the fire. I'm just happy we can provide them with an environment that, because otherwise, if they're at someone else's house that you don't know, that's when things get, I think, a little iffy. There are some parents out there who think it's real fun to allow teenagers to drink. And so, obviously, we don't do that. And, my daughter's a sophomore. My oldest is a sophomore. And she has kids over from the volleyball team and kids she knows from school. And they're just good kids. And I'm just happy with it. I'm just happy with the whole thing. And, I don't even know if they won the game, but they all got to get dressed up. The kids came over after the dance, not after the game, but they all got to go get dressed up and do some dancing and that kind of stuff. And so, yeah, it's I'm glad that kids are still able to just go kind of grow up a little bit but still be kids and not have a place to go where they're not having to worry about all the stuff. I have talked a bit before about the Billion Pill Pledge that we joined. And what it is an attempt to two things. One is reduce the amount of opioid pills out in the community, and two is reduce the amount of opioids that the patients are taking. So this is a program that a company called Goldfinch has started up with the Department of Justice, because the Attorney General is who they're working with. This is on the state level. And so they came to me to be part of the early pilot program because I had worked with the CEO of Goldfinch previously a few years ago. We did we were working together on a pilot program for essentially for perioperative, so kind of before, during, and after the knee replacement surgery, just pathways and nursing support and that kind of stuff. And that one didn't take off as, we learned a lot, but it didn't really take off. But this Billion Pill Pledge has really, there are now 15 hospitals in Iowa doing it. And so that's exciting. And the idea is you give a limited number of opioids, and the nurses will support the patients, and they call them, the day after the surgery, or the day after they get home, and they call them before the surgery, and they say, you're going to have a little bit of pain, but you know, try this medicine and this medicine first. Have you put your ice on it? And that kind of stuff, reminding them. But I got a call yesterday from the CEO of Goldfinch. Now, that's the company that is running this whole program. The funding comes from the Attorney General's office. And the funding comes from each state was given a bunch of money for the opioid settlement. And I've talked about the opioid settlement previously, and boy, that's a rough one to even look at as a physician, because you look back and see how many things had gone wrong that contributed to the opioid crisis that we currently have, but we're getting a handle on it. And the first thing was really cracking down on these, what they called pill mills, where a doctor would set up. I watched a documentary in this, and there were lots of these kind of doctors who would set up a clinic, and they basically, the patient would walk in and say, I have pain and here's $300. And they would write them a prescription for some OxyContin. So yeah, that was rough. Rough to see other doctors, you know, just hurts your heart to see other doctors be that unethical. But so first thing that is, they cracked down on a bunch of those and prosecuted those doctors and threw them in jail, as they should have. Took their licenses away or threw them in jail, whatever it was. So then they started saying, well, how do we reduce the amount of opioids out in the community? How do we treat this? So there was a big class action lawsuit, and all 50 states got some of the money, and Iowa got some millions of dollars. I don't know how many millions there are. And some of it's going to be public education. Some of it's going to be prevention on that front. And some of it is this program, which is designed to reduce the number of opioids in the community. And so, you know, going back to teenagers, but not just teenagers, but even adult family members or people who share a household, if somebody has had surgery and everyone understands that, well, they probably have opioids. So it's, you got to figure, just people being people, there's got to be people going into medicine cabinets and taking other people's medicines. That's just obvious that's going to happen. We don't know to what extent that happens, have no real way of knowing, but it's certainly something that's known to happen, and it's something that's out there. So this program is an attempt to really just try to give the patients just enough of the opioids. And one of the reasons that the Goldfinch came to me was because we had worked together on this pathway, as I had said before, but also they knew of my comprehensive pain management protocol, and they figured I'd be a great candidate for this. Well, the first round of data has come through, and of the 15 hospitals, our hospital, which basically means me because I'm the only orthopedic surgeon, you know, working full time at this hospital and doing any number of surgeries. So the data is my patients. So my patients of the 15 hospitals, and I don't know how many doctors are at the other hospitals, but my patients used the least amount of opioids of any of them. So I was very happy about that. I was pretty proud of that. The range of opiates used was from 0 to 35. The average was 17. So after leaving the hospital for knee replacement, my patients took an average of 17 opioid pills. So in my case, it's oxycodone, 5 milligrams. So 17 of those. And patients who used 10 or fewer opioid pills after their total knee replacement, after they left the hospital, 47% of my patients used 10 or fewer opioids once they left the hospital. And 12% of my patients used zero opioids after a knee replacement. So just Tylenol and the gabapentin and the other stuff. So, you know, if you look at that, I mean, those are great numbers. I'm very proud of those numbers. And if you look at the reasons for it, is that number one is my pain protocol, and two is this program with the support, and then three is using the Mako robot, because the Mako robot allows us to do a lot less what we call soft tissue balancing, because we're really cutting the bones to where each patient's bones ought to be. So the combination of all those things means that my patients of the 15 hospitals were having the least amount of postoperative pain. And yeah, I was really, we're really proud of that. I mean, that it takes a lot of hard work. My pain protocol I have developed over years. I started being interested in innovative postoperative pain protocols probably 6 to 8 years ago. But those early pain protocols, we were given larger doses of OxyContin on the day of surgery. And we found that especially the older patients a lot of times would have trouble kind of recovering. And so, oh, real quick, one of the other things that this program has brought into my practice, which I was really happy about, is they're now giving the patients a drink the day of surgery that is supposed to improve. It's an electrolyte and sugar drink, something on the order of kind of like a Gatorade, but is supposed to improve their recovery from anesthesia. And that, we don't have the data on that, but that does seem to be the case. Patients are more vigorous and alert after the surgery. So again, so dating back to when I started having a tremendous interest in a pain protocol that I could use that would be innovative and get my patients to have less pain. I mean, because we used to use what's called patient-controlled anesthesia, which is essentially a button you press and you give yourself a dose of morphine, and you could do that every 5 minutes. Now, you can end up with a whole lot of morphine if you're in the hospital for 2 to 3 days pressing that button every 5 minutes, and that is not a good way to speed along recovery. So I was looking a way to get away from that, and the first protocol that I adopted that I read some research on was, it's kind of a big dose of the opioid. And then I continued to study and to do courses and to look into this and to talk with colleagues that were sort of really on the forefront of the pain control. And then I ran into the Iovera, which is the freezing of the nerves that I do 2 weeks before. And man, that changed things dramatically. When I started doing that, which was about 6 years ago now, when I started doing the Iovera for patients who have a knee replacement, they come into my office 2 weeks before the knee replacement. Now they get the CT scan for the Mako robot, and then they get the Iovera, which is the freezing of the nerves. And when I first started doing that, before I even had the Mako robot, 5-6 years ago, I noticed that my patients who were having knee replacement used 75% less opioids in the hospital. So I got people off of the patient-controlled anesthesia, and they just were using a ton less. So then I learned about putting a long-acting lidocaine, that's the numbing medicine, putting that block, a block. So when I say a block, what do we do is I take a long needle, it's called a spinal needle, and when I have the knee open, in the back capsule, the capsule is what has the surrounding tissue, it keeps the fluid inside the knee, so that, you know, because your knee is a joint that has fluid in it at all times, otherwise, you know, it would be dry and it wouldn't be as mobile, just like an engine. Well, in the back of the capsule, there are a bunch of nerve endings, so I put a long-acting lidocaine into the back of the capsule, and I noticed that decreased the need for pain control, because the first 48 hours, if you can get through that, then you can start kind of being managed a little better. I don't use a tourniquet, and that's been a real important part of it as well, because patients used to have tremendous leg swelling and pain in the mid-thigh, and that is reduced dramatically now because I don't use the tourniquet the way some surgeons do, and all of us used to, essentially. I put a tourniquet on the leg, and it's inflated with air during the case so that you don't have a lot of blood loss. But now we can do it with we have some devices that help us with the blood control during the operation, and there's a medicine called tranexamic acid that we can give that will help the patient not to bleed much. So in addition to the preoperative, the 2 weeks beforehand, the cryoneurolysis, freezing the nerves, the night before they take a Celebrex, and the morning of they take a Celebrex, which is an anti-inflammatory. Prior to going into the operating room, the anesthetist will do what's called an adductor canal block. They'll take an ultrasound machine and they'll put a needle right by the nerves that supply the inside of the knee. And that helps tremendously. Use a spinal anesthetic and that helps tremendously. So there's four different nerve blocks that you're getting. So now we didn't used to do it. Sometimes we would just do these patients and we would put them to sleep with general anesthesia, and then they would wake up and I've seen some patients literally writhing and screaming in pain. This is a long, long time ago, but just showing where we've come from. And so you have the four different nerve blocks. You have the medications that start the night before and the morning of, the Celebrex. Afterwards, we use gabapentin, which is a nerve blocker, the Celebrex, the oxycodone, and then I have a cream that they use, that my patients use. It's an anti-inflammatory cream with lidocaine in it. And also the cryotherapy. So this is the cold therapy. We are using a really nice one. People have seen these cold packs that you get after extremity surgery. Well, some of them just have ice in them. There's a couple problems with those. Number one is you have to keep refilling the ice. Number two is it can get so cold that it can damage your skin. The one we have is called a Kinex machine, or Kinex, K-N-E-X. And you just pour water in and you press a button and it flows through and it refrigerates the water to the exact perfect temperature that we want, which is just under 40 degrees. So add all those things up and you get my pain protocol. And then, of course, using the Mako robot, we're taking fewer ligaments off the bones, like I said. And you come up with what is clearly a highly effective way of having a knee replacement with dramatically less pain. Now, there are still wide variations in each individual's interpretation of the pain itself. That is just what it is. People are just different and people react to pain differently. So, you know, I never want to tell anybody that they're not going to have pain. There are some patients who say they don't have pain, but that would be my 10% or 14% of my patients, whatever that was, that didn't take any opioids after the surgery, after they got home. And the rest of the patients will have pain, but will be dramatically less painful than they were, just by definition, dramatically less painful than they were a few years ago. And then also some patients will walk more and some patients will walk less. So there's a lot of different variables. But overall, it's become a much, much less painful, a more tolerable surgery. And I worked really, really hard to put together this protocol and to get everything together so that my patients could have this, you know, significant improvement in their pain after surgery. And so I'm just excited. I'm excited that we now have data to track and even a way to compare ourselves to other places. And my goal would be, you know, right now, 44% of my patients take 10 or fewer, and 12% of my patients used zero of the opioids after surgery, and fewer than 3% of them had a refill, so used more than the original 30 that I would prescribe. So yeah, it's still a work in progress. My goal would be to have, and I don't know if this is possible, but to have 50% of my patients not use any opioids at all after surgery. That would be my goal. And then, you know what? If I reach that goal, my next goal is going to be 75. You know, I'm always trying to improve, always trying to make it a better experience, less pain, quicker recovery, the way I personalize it. You know, I got away from it a while back, but I've gotten back to calling patients the night before surgery, and they really appreciate that. And all my patients that have joint replacement with me get my cell phone number so that they, if they have emergencies, they can give me a call. I want everyone that comes to me and wants to have surgery, especially joint replacements because they're so serious, to feel like, you know, I'm in the game with them, and I am. So that's just a little talking about the new data that we got and our pain protocol and the success that we're having. So with that, I will let you go for the week. So I'll be back next week, and you have a blessed week, Iowa.
This has been the St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedic Show with Dr. Richard Godding. For more information about Dr. Godding, his practice, or St. Anthony Hospital Orthopedics, go to www.stanthonyhospital.org or make an appointment by calling 712-794-5536.